بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم My respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home on the receiver In the last majlis we had discussed a few conditions that some of the Murideen of Hazrat Arif Billah Zakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi had written to him their different queries, questions regarding the Islah and Hazrat's response to them. We had discussed a few of those questions and the solutions that were provided by Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Inshallah we'll continue because these are such questions that are common. And we also have these type of questions and queries. We also encounter these type of problems. So because these are common questions, not any particular person is intended at all. In fact, this is the kitab, it's printed, it's available. But these are questions that you and I also are confronted with in our lives. And therefore, sometimes when we see these great Ahlullah, the friends of Allah, what solutions they provide, it gives us some guidelines, some guidance, some hidayat, which we all require. Somebody had written to Hazrat, Hazakim Sahib Rahmatullahi, one of his murids had written, he said, Hazrat, Shaitan has embarked on a plot. My heart desires attending your majlis, but I experience a strange condition that whilst my heart wants to come, at the same time, it does not want to come. So there is an urge sometimes to attend your program, and my nafs plays games with me, and then suddenly I get this disinclination, or I don't feel like coming towards your majlis. I request special du'as in this regard. Hazrat answered, are you a slave of your heart, or the slave of Allah? Are you the slave of your heart, your nafs, or are you the slave of Allah? If the heart does not desire, then impose on the heart. Compel your heart. What success can you attain by following Shaitan? Person said, Shaitan is making a plot against me. And he is pulling me away from your majlis. And this is what Shaitan wants. The Shaitan does not want a person to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment a person starts frequenting the masjid, he starts performing his 5 times salat, then Shaitan will try his level best to pull him away with some type of attraction. Either some soccer match, some sporting event, some function, some wedding. He'll make him feel lazy. Just a small cold will make him feel that you're very sick. And slowly, slowly, oh, he'll get him into bad company. And the person leaves the masjid. He leaves attending the program, any dini program. This is what Shaitan wants. I normally tell the students who come to the madrasa to do the alim course, the day they put their foot into the madrasa and having a sincere intention to become an alim, I said, now Shaitan will play very serious games against you. Prior to this, he was not bothered. But now that you want to learn the deen of Allah, masail of deen, you want to learn Quran, you want to learn hadith, what will happen? You'll become closer to Allah. You'll disobey Shaitan, you'll obey Allah. This is what Shaitan does not want. So he will make every type of plan and plot to take you away. And therefore we have to be firm. We have to have istiqamat. Somebody else has written, he said, Hazrat, I was progressing quite peacefully in this path of suluk. In other words, making tawbah, istighfar, gaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was conscious of not displeasing Allah Ta'ala at every moment. So it happens in the person who is turning towards Allah Ta'ala, he makes sincere tawbah, especially in the month of Ramadan. And then he starts attending some dini program. He makes the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He feels this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he does not want to displease Allah Ta'ala at all. He says, my soul seemed to be most green and lush. So he enjoyed some type of happiness and enjoyment in his heart the love of Allah Ta'ala. But I do not know what happened now. Suddenly I became deprived of your blessed gathering, and I began retrogressing to the extent that I'm back to square one. This condition remained for me for about 2 months, but my soul continued trembling during this time. It became extremely difficult to attend your gathering. I became very uneasy during this time, and in fact I began committing sins again. Hazrat answered, a person sometimes falls down on the path. Person sometimes falls down on the path. Then he gets up and he starts walking again. And eventually he reaches his destination. This is something for all of us to ponder. All of us require it. That we have made an effort, we have made a sincere intention, a resolution that now we are going to go onto this path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as I say, the person falls sometimes on the path. What happens? He wakes up, starts walking again, and after some time, he reaches his destination. Falling down is nothing unusual, but one should not remain fallen down. If a person falls down, immediately he will make every attempt to stand up. Even a drunk person you will see on the road falls down, but he'll try to stand up again. He says, start attending these gatherings once again. Inform me of your conditions. In other words, inform me of the sins and the evil which you are committing. We expect the Hazrat just to know what is Ahlullah, the great friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just expect them to know whatever weaknesses we have without telling them. It's not possible. Sometimes Allah ta'ala makes them say certain things which we have in us, those type of weaknesses. And then they give a solution, and we feel, he just saw into me, and he x-rayed me. Now Allah Ta'ala wants our hidayat. So Allah Ta'ala makes certain things come out in certain programs, which is beneficial for the speaker and for everybody. And sometimes a particular person may be involved in a particular weakness, and he's trying to come out of it. He's looking for some guidance, and Allah Ta'ala makes it happen, that whilst he came for that particular gathering, the answer was given, and he finds his guidance. So he says, start attending these gatherings. Inform me of your conditions. Inform me of the sins you are committing. Because each treatment is different from the other. So sometimes the person has hasad, jealousy. Sometimes it's pride. Sometimes anger. So depending on what sickness a person has, that accordingly the doctor will prescribe the correct medication. Like that. We have maladies of the heart, spiritual maladies of the heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, solutions to all these maladies. And therefore we have to inform the person who we have faith in, that this is the problem I have. How do I get about solving this problem, this sickness, this bimari? The problem is we only ask the Maulana about our business problems. And our dunya problems. Akhirat, nobody is bothered about. When you read the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, that person who has that amount of pride equal to an atom, mithqal dharra, he will never enter paradise. There's explanation for that hadith, but look at the simple words of Rasulullah SAW, or the simple meaning of this hadith. The outward meaning of this hadith, a person who's got pride won't enter Jannat. Now do we have that worry and concern? That I must make sure that my heart does not have that pride. Hasad eats up, it devours the good actions, the nekis of the person. So do we bother about how much of hasad I have, jealousy? What am I doing to my life, to my iman, and to my amal? No. Not to say you can't ask the ulama about your business masail, you've got to ask them. Halal, haram is important. But all the time is only related to our personal things of this world, not of the akhirat. And therefore we have these gatherings so that we may connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We read from the works of the pious predecessors, the ulama, the buzughanidin, the ahlullah, because they spend their life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala had given them special nur. Nur of the knowledge, of the ilm. Nur of taqwa. They stayed in the company of great people. And they had gained closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore there was such great effect in their words. That long after they leave this world, still when we open the kitab and we read, one will still feel and perceive that nur in their words. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. So it's these common maladies, illicit relationships, badnazri, casting lustful glances, hasad, anger. Somebody had written, he says, Hazrat, when I had been negligent and not safeguarding my gaze, I fell into a major calamity. A student began writing to me. He was not very handsome. So it is a female writing this question. She says, but he was a pious, righteous boy. My heart became attracted to his good character, behavior. I gradually became so entrapped in his love that I lost all the peace and tranquility of my life. Now, this is such a common thing. So many people write the same thing. That they got caught into some illicit relationship and all that sukoon, the tranquility, peace of mind, everything disappears. He says, I gradually became so entrapped in his love that I lost all the peace and tranquility of my life. My tears would flow constantly and cause my eyes to become red. The affair was beyond my control and I could not do anything. When my friends tried to explain to me, I said to them that this love is something which cannot leave a person. If it could leave a person, it would have left Majnoon. See, nafs and shaitan, the tricks. So he says, she says, my friends gave up explaining to me, convincing me to leave this type of relationship, but I continued. Hazrat Rahmatullahi answered, he says, I'm surprised because this female, this sister had ta'alluq with Zakim Sahib Rahmatullahi. She had been corresponding, she may have taken bayah to him. He says, I'm surprised that you informed your friends about your relationship with that boy, but not your sheikh. And this is what I've been mentioning so often, that we have a ta'alluq with a certain person, and all we know, Hazrat, Hazrat, what a bayan you give. Oh. Even in that praise, we have got some ulterior motive. We want to be the best in that person's eyes. And nobody else must have that type of relationship that we have with that sheikh. Such a type of relationship is no good. Your maqsood must be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the sheikh. And this way, many people are faltering today. Many people. Allah forgive us, Allah protect us, Allah guide us. This is a very serious issue. That we take bayat to a person is solely because we believe that this person is going to be beneficial to me and is going to lead me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, I have to be serious in this relationship with this person so that because he's guiding me, I will explain to him exactly what are my weaknesses. It's not just praising the person and making him sick also. Many people fall in that trap. Everybody see, what a bayan. His nafs also gets inflated. The sheikh is not a person who doesn't commit any sins. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُّءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. I don't want to digress. Otherwise the message goes to wrong messages go and somebody might say that Mona is talking against mashayikh and against the tasawwuf. No. All I'm saying, we have to have ikhlas. We have to be sincere. The sheikh has to be sincere. The murid has to be sincere. It's not numbers that we have and huge gatherings and everybody walks behind the person. No. Because nafs and shaitan is with every person. A murid, a person who has taken bayat, then he has to be genuine. Otherwise, just to see, I am bayat to a certain sheikh. So people say, oh, you must be a great person yourself. Somebody had written, and I had mentioned it, and I saw it in some kitab in Arabic the other day, that many times we pretend that we have humility. We lower head, and we pretend that we are so humble. But there is nafs inside, the tricks of nafs. Nafs plays a game with us. And why do we do that? I'm not saying everybody who does that. Generally, a person will pretend he has got humility so that others think that he is pious. He's not genuine. Goes down, puts his head even down, says that Umar told the person, why are you sick? Walk normal. You got a problem? So in front of that Hazrat and Sheikh, we go right down. What are we doing? We're trying to make like we are very, very humble people, very righteous people. No. Now this is the fine line in tasawwuf. Allah forgive us. We don't have the understanding. Allah give us the understanding. But when you see people are just carrying on one way. So these are the things that we have to make islah. We have to understand ourselves. We are weak people. We also in search to put our hand in some great person so we can also be guided. It's not just taking bayat and just, it becomes a riwaj, it becomes a rasam, it becomes a custom, it becomes just a practice with no genuine goal and purpose. This is wrong. It is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to kindle the love of Allah ta'ala we have in our heart. Nonetheless, this person has written, so Hazrat said, I'm surprised you didn't inform your friends. Hey, that you informed your friends, but not your sheikh. In other words, you enabled the illness to increase at a time when you were supposed to write to your sheikh. It was as though you broke your contact with your sheikh. And Hazrat says, Majnoon was actually a mad person. That's why Majnoon, he was mad in his love for Layla. Why are you following him? Why are you not following the sunnah of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, who fled with his beauty upon the invitation of Zulaykha? This love for this boy is not because of his good character, but because of his beauty. You see, nafs is telling this woman, you're not involved with him because of his beauty, his handsomeness. He's such a nice boy, such good character. Hazrat says, no, in reality it's because of his beauty that you are gone crazy over him. He says, in fact, it is the love for that filthy place from which excreta comes out. Just think how low and vile this is. This nafs is using his good character as a veil to cause you to commit an evil deed with him. If you wish to save yourself, then break all contacts with him. And this is the solution to all those people who have this problem. Sometimes a person slips, makes a blunder. Nafs gets the better of the person. Shaitan entices the person. He falls into a relationship with some woman, or she falls into a haram relationship with a boy, either in varsity or in college. Sometimes they are married. Now what is the solution? You have to break off that contact immediately. Don't even leave the name of that person in your cell phone. Every email, every WhatsApp, every message you have must be deleted completely, completely. As though that person never existed. You don't know that person. Any small trace that you still leave behind, one note, one love note the person sent, or one gift, and you keep that. Every time you will see that, shaitan will make you remember all those wrong things that you did. And this is the hard thing. To break off all that contact with that haram woman or man. That is the thing that hurts the nafs. And until we don't do that, then we can never gain taqwa, we can never come out of this rut. It's impossible then. But when we have reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yusuf alayhi salatu salam knew that the doors were locked. But still he ran towards the door. Qala ma'ad Allah. I seek Allah's protection. And this is what a person has to do. He has to turn to Allah. She has to turn to Allah. Sincere tawbah means and demands that the person abandons that sin immediately. He feels nadamat. Here we feel nadamat, we regret, remorse, but we're not prepared to give up that sin. So it is not true remorse. It is not true tawbah al-nasuha. Regret committing the sin. Abandon that sin. And promise to Allah you will never go back to that sin. If a person is genuine, Allah makes the arrangements for that person to protect him. He ran towards the door, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened every lock. Every door became unlocked. So this is a lesson for us that Surah Yusuf has. That any person who is caught in this relationship, he must immediately, or she must immediately make sincere tawbah to Allah. And finish. Cut off every relationship. The person can phone you, can SMS, can send you a letter, whatever. Maaf. I want to please my Allah. And don't even engage in any discussion. Don't even try to argue or convince the person. Because even in there too, shaitan will drag you again. Like Hazrat was mentioning, Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Ari Billah Zakim Sahib, Rahmatullah, was mentioning, they were traveling in the plane, and over something, there was some issue in the plane, some matter, and the air hostess was there, and one of the person was getting upset with the air hostess, and staring with red eyes, and he was angry. Others said, they also, nafs can play games with you. In your anger also, you're looking, and stealing a glance at her beauty. You see, this is nafs and shaitan. So we have to be so concerned about our nafs and shaitan, and we have to know these things, the tricks of nafs and shaitan. And as a person progresses, Allah teaches him, Allah makes him know that this particular thing I'm doing, it is actually nafs pulling me towards the haram thing. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Then this person had written, we have now separated and my condition of crying has stopped for quite some time now. But my love for him is not coming out of my heart. So it takes long sometimes. My heart skips a beat when I think of him. My condition changes and my heart feels like crying. Hazrat answers, he says, Rahmatullahi, ponder over this. These tears which are shed for someone apart from Allah are worse than the urine of a donkey. These tears that are shed for somebody beside Allah. She's crying for who? For this lover of hers. She's not crying out of the fear of Allah. This is worse than the urine of a donkey. This is because they are earning the punishment of Allah. These tears, you're crying out of the love for another person, ghairullah. It's a haram relationship. Not a husband crying for his wife or wife crying for the husband. So this type of tears, they earn the punishment of Allah. When thoughts of him come to your mind, do not occupy yourself in these thoughts. Do not try to chase them away also. Just ignore them. Occupy yourself in some other activity, even if it means thinking about moth and the grave. Think like this, my soul is leaving me. I'm being lowered in the grave. Of what assistance will this boy be or this man be to me at that moment? Somebody had written, Hazrat, for the same person. Love for the student has troubled me a lot and is still troubling me. I do not picture his appearance in my mind, but I think more of his ways and character. As you see, this is also the deception of shaitan. Your love is for his appearance. Ponder over this. If there was a person who was extremely ugly, but had good characters, will you have the same feelings? Somebody extremely ugly, but had very good character, would you still have same feelings for that person? No. Nevertheless, no matter what type of relationship it is, whether it is with the appearance or the ways and mannerisms, both are absolutely haram. So do not think about him. Do not think about his appearance, nor about his mannerisms. It is haram for you to think of him. The nafs is deceiving you into thinking of his etiquettes, his akhlaq, and wants to disgrace you through his appearance. Somebody had written, he says, I used to listen to music previously. It's also a common question. I used to listen to music previously and memorize the words of the songs. Now if I hear such music playing anywhere, then I try hard not to pay attention. But at times I'm unable to do this and the words of the songs come onto my lips. So the answer is simple answer. He says, express remorse in your heart at such a time. Seek forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala and make firm determination of piety for the future. Simple. Make tawbah, feel the remorse in your heart, Seek Allah's forgiveness and make a firm determination of taqwa for the future. Somebody had written, all praise due to Allah Ta'ala that I exercise patience over calamities. But at times if someone vexes me, annoys me with something, and he accuses me of something which I am not involved in, I can never tolerate this. In other words, I'm innocent, and the person who is falsely accusing me, is annoying me, irritating me, I most certainly say something or the other to the person. However, I'm unable to control the tears of my eyes. I feel sad about it. Person is accusing me for no reason. And at times, that sorrow does not end at all. It causes an impediment in my ibadat. At times, I inform others as to what that person said to me. So a person is innocent, and some person is annoying the person, irritating the person, accusing the person, false accusations. And this person may be a soft person in nature, can't really do anything about it. So the person goes to his or her friend, and explains to that person, let's see what this person is doing to me. So this is what the question is. As the answers, he says, if anyone wrongs you, there is no harm in relating the incident to a sympathizer for the purpose of lightening your burden. This is not considered to be ghibat. If someone wrongs you, genuinely you are mazloom, then to mention this zulam that particular person is doing upon you, to lighten that burden, because you, and there are many women folk, many sisters, who are unable to tell any person. They can't tell their parents what their husband is doing to them. Years will go past, but they may have a very close friend. So this woman tells a very close friend, female friend, perhaps like her sister, and she tells her, this is what is happening to me. So at least this person will console this sister, make her feel a bit, give her some strength, some comfort, lightening her burden. So this is not regarded as ghibat. What is ghibat? Dhikruka akhaka bima yukra. When you talk something about your brother or sister, that which he would dislike if you had to mention in his or her presence. Sahabi asked if he is guilty of that particular crime. You're not speaking lies. He is involved in that particular sin and you're speaking about it. Nabi said, that's exactly what ghibat is all about. And if he was innocent of it and you spoke something which he was innocent of, that is buhtan, that is slander, that is worse. May Allah protect us. May Allah give us hidayat. Somebody had written, he says, Hazrat, I look more at the faults of people and my heart finds the excuse to say, such and such a person has this fault, this evil, this shortcoming. Hazrat, I would like to have a concern for my own faults. And I be safe from this illness of looking at other people's faults. Also very common. We will talk about the whole of society. Society is involved in this, that problem. Rather than looking at our own faults, Hazrat answers, the cause of this is conceit. The reason for this behavior, this condition is conceit. Ujab. This is like the condition of a fly which sits on the wounds and filthy places and does not go to clean places. The person will only pick on faults of people. The person won't go to any other clean place. Think to yourself that the fault which you are looking at is actually the filth of your own nafs. That you are looking at this one fault of this person, but not looking at the thousands of merits that person has. Think to yourself that you do not know on which good quality of this person he or she may be forgiven, and on which fault of yours you will be taken to task. Think of your own faults constantly. And this is something that we all have to ponder and reflect on. We always, all our gatherings, functions, whenever we meet families, on lunch occasions, wherever it is, we'll talk about the whole world. And these are the wrongs that people are involved in. Ummat is doing this, Ummat is doing that, those people are doing that, these people are doing. We don't ever look at our own faults. We don't introspect our own lives. If a person sits and he ponders from the morning, and he won't even reach quarter of his gunas, it will already be evening. We've got so much of islah to make of our own selves. Yes, there are sometimes general conditions that take place where people are now involved in a sin and you're trying to save others from that sin, where you speak about these things. But here, our only thing is putting the society under a microscope, and now we're looking at every fault that's taking place, rather than looking at good of people and looking at our own faults. So may Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat to look at our own faults. Somebody had said, I have a very serious illness of having evil thoughts of others. Whoever I look at, I start having evil thoughts about that person. I tried not to have such thoughts, but still end up having them. As I see, the cause of these evil thoughts is pride. If you consider yourself to be insignificant, you would not have these evil thoughts and your own faults would be before you. You should therefore first treat your pride. Say to this to yourself. Say this to yourself every morning and evening. At present, I am worse than all the Muslims. I am worse than the unbelievers and animals as regards to my end, because I do not know in which condition my fate, my plight, my end will be. Also, think of this, that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will ask you for a shari'i proof for your evil thoughts that you had. Why did you have some thoughts, evil thoughts about the person? Why did you have bad gumani about that person? You will have no, we won't be able to bring any proof to substantiate this evil thoughts that we had regarding the person. And what will happen then? The person will then be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala protect us. These are all serious things, maladies of the heart, which many of us, we just totally ignore. We had mentioned, I think, last week also about Badnazri, casting lustful glances. So again, the person had mentioned, he says, I have an illness, whenever I see something beautiful, someone beautiful, it settles in my heart and mind. I constantly have thoughts about it, and I have this desire to acquire it. Consequently, I have no concentration whatsoever in my studies. As I see, do not look at the beauty, neither at girls nor boys. It is haram to look at them. This is zina of the eyes. The punishment of this looking is that the heart becomes filthy. Make a firm resolution that even if you have to lose your life, even if you have to lose your life, you are not going to look. Offer 8 rakats of salah for each time you commit this sin, and seek forgiveness by crying before Allah Ta'ala, or at least adopt the appearance of a crying person. Now, this is something very important. We mentioned so many times that this is the poisonous arrow of the arrows of shaitan, casting lustful glances. A woman looks at a man who is haram for her, and he looks at a woman who is haram for him. So this is badnazri, which is the scourge. In our times, the Hazrat Rahmatullah used to always speak on every single bayan of his on badnazri, 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 because this is the beginning. And after a person casts lustful glances, what happens? He becomes caught in the relationship, and then he starts messaging, he starts talking, and then one thing leads to another until the person commits zina, and then he is pareshan. So if Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina, don't even go close to zina. All those areas which are going to take a person closer to zina, one should refrain from going to those places. Those people, that company the person has, that young boy, young girl, if those people are going and frequenting such places, then stay away from such people. They're not your friends. Stay with those people. Even though outwardly you may be having a sort of a boring life, initially it may be boring that everybody else is chilling and now you're sitting in the masjid or in some program. Wallah, after some time you'll enjoy it to such a level and you'll get such sweetness that you will try to tell those people, please come and join me in this sweetness that I'm enjoying. And Allah will give this youngster, boy or girl, the strength and the courage and the himmat. So even if a person feels that his life is going to be lost, in trying to prevent himself from casting lustful glances. He's turning away. So even if your life is going to go away, then too do not cast that lustful glance at that person. We'll just end off with one more, inshallah. This is also a very serious issue in our community. Allah protect us. Allah protect our youngsters. When batil, when the forces of batil become so widespread, and we have all this access to all these things in our own homes, in our pocket, in our cell phone, then these type of bimaris come into society. Person says, this is the first letter to you. I'm suffering from a very terrible ailment which was caused by wrong environment, evil company. I live with various evil people at different times of a period of 10 years. It is 6 months since I repented, but I fear breaking this repentance. My condition at present is that I have no inclination whatsoever towards women. This is the man, the male who is writing. He says, I've got no inclination whatsoever towards women, but I have an intense desire for men and young boys. Homosexuality. He says, this ailment of mine is such that I have a desire for the friends who interact with me, and he has got involved in these type of sins. Allah protect all of us. Kindly show me the treatment for this so that I may be saved from evil habits and be blessed with a life of peace. In the world today, people talk about gays rights, and in so many parliaments, it has become legislation and it has been passed. There's nothing wrong. May Allah protect us. We are going so close to Qiyamah. Sodomy is one of the worst, or the worst sin that was ever committed in this world. The treatment of this is, as I said, adopt complete aloofness from men and young boys, irrespective of whether they are friends or others. You should completely abstain from sitting with them, walking with them, meeting with them. In fact, you should make a willful intention of not even thinking about them. Do not go near them, no, look at them from a distance, do not meet them, do not converse with them, do not think about them, do not talk about them. Even if someone else talks about them, stop him from doing so. In short, remain as far away from them as the distance between east and west. Restrict your meetings only with those persons towards whom there is not even a tinge of inclination. Be extremely careful in safeguarding your eyes. Pay particular attention that even the first glance does not fall on anyone. This is only possible if at every moment you think to yourself that you are not to look. If you think in this way, you will only look up with absolute caution. Your illness is so severe that if you do not act on these guidelines, you will not be able to live without falling into sin on account of your old habits. May Allah subhanahu give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal or understand what we have spoken about today. And we can pass it on to those people who seek our advice. These are all serious maladies. Allah protect us. Today a person is healthy, tomorrow he gets sick. So it doesn't mean that these are things that refer to others and we are free from these things. No. May Allah protect us from nafs and shaitan. That is why tawbah, istighfar, dhikrullah, bayanat, mawa'iz, and company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which all of us require. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.